Welcome to the PG Podcast with your host, Chris Stix, helping parents keep their kids safe in the technology-driven world.
All right, we're back with another episode of the PG Podcast. Our special guest today is Regine Bonneau. She's the founder of RB Advisory. She's also the CEO of that organization, and she's an expert in cybersecurity, risk management, compliance. She does a lot of speaking to different groups about cybersecurity, including local YMCA groups. So with that kind of brief introduction, Regine, would you give us a little bit of background about yourself and what you do?
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much, Chris, for having me. This is awesome. I love doing these things because it's one of those paid forward prospect for us, because it helps kids now understand, and parents too, right? Understand what's in the environment so that they can properly protect themselves. But brief introduction. My name is Regine Bonneau. I actually was born in Haiti. I grew up in New York, and by way found myself in Florida because I like warm weather, right?
Right.
That my time with technology started early on. I was exposed to it in junior high school. I did coding and then programming with the Green Turtle, so everyone will know what year that was, and then jumped into robotics. But you know, that was always part problem solving, trying to help and get things done was always part of me. Once my mother got tired, she sent me to engineering school because she was like, look, you're fixing everything, but can we fix them properly? So that's where my journey really started at the age of 11. Really dove into it and continued on, went to school for engineering, got involved in a lot with compliance, governance, risk and compliance, especially in the financial industry, and seeing how, you know, security comes into it and with the compliance, how that how everything works together. Then 3 years ago, a contract ended, and I just went over the cliff and jumped and started the company. And part of it is to really help small to mid-sized businesses understand their risk, because at the end of the day, they are connected to the larger enterprise. So how do we help buffer that part of the industry, the world of business, and then move on and help everyone else? But in between that, parents work from home, right? So we have remote employees, but then we have kids, children, how we've seen what's happening with them, how now it's different than when I grew up. Technology wasn't that prevalent, but now that technology is practically part of they're like part of their DNA. How do we properly help them and their parents get them to a safe adulthood without even having those issues? Because now everyone else, the bad guys, have a new way of reaching out, and it's some most familiar territories for the kids and not even understanding. So a little bit of my mantra and why this is a very big thing for me. And I'm also a mother of a 6-year-old. So that's really takes precedence in my journey here.
I have 2 kids, 1 6 and 1 9. Oh, so okay. I know how that goes. Regine, would you give us a little bit of your understanding of what you think are the greatest threats that are facing kids, and because they're facing kids, they're parents too, in this kind of increasingly technology-driven world?
Well, as we can see now, not only at home, children are readily have technology readily accessible to them. Everyone has an iPad or VTech. That was VTech before, right, to help them learn. When you move into school environment, everyone has a computer now. So the kids, the threats that they're facing, one is really they're naive, their innocence. So not really understanding that, you know, not everyone online is their friends, right? And not seeing, you know, not to go in certain sites that has a hacker or someone on the bad guys on the back end that actually waiting to take advantage of them, of their innocence, and expose them to things that they wouldn't necessarily have to be in. So now that exposure and those threats really brings it back home, which translates into their parents. How do I now monitor my children and help them not be part of a victim in a different light? Because we all communicate via the internet, the cyber. We have cyberbullying that has now taken over bullying before, and bullying now is totally different because now I don't know who's behind the door, right? Who's actually targeting me. And we all thrive on social acceptance, and that really affects the parenting part and then the kid, because we're battling two things that we don't know. And as technology is increasing, we have new things, augmented reality, you know, virtual reality. So how do we really help them see, okay, this is virtual, that's not the real world, but this is where we are, separating the two. We're hearing a lot with kids being depressed or, you know, not social, because we're all working with behind the scene, not being ourselves. So in technology, the threat is really increasing and exposing yourself to certain things that you shouldn't, right? And you have YouTube kids, the bad guys find a way to get to the kids however they need to. And that's where pushing YouTube as the only platform with issues, but how do we help them really be discerning and really understand, when do I click, when do I not click, when do I make that right decision or not?
Right. You know, you mentioned the naivety of kids. I think that's a very good point, because and something I saw recently, the FTC is investigating companies that offer in these mobile apps, they offer like these, they call them chests, mm-hmm. treasure chests, where you pay money to get these treasure chests. And kids think that there's a realistic chance that they're going to get some superhero or some weapon or benefit for the game that they're playing. But in reality, the odds of you actually getting that thing, even though it's advertised like that, is minimal. You might have a 1 in a million chance of getting that thing. And otherwise, you're going to get some other reward or prize, which is not really what you wanted. But kids don't understand the, you know, odds and the probability of getting what they want. And so I think the FTC is actually looking at that, looking at game producers and making them. I've seen it on some of the games my kids play and that I play. It'll now, there's a little information bar mm-hmm. there, and it'll say, you know, hey, here, the odds of getting this thing are 1 in a million. The odds of getting this other thing are, here's what they are. And at least that helps for a parent looking at it. But for kids, they really don't know that they're not going to get that thing. And the other thing, too, with the naivety is they don't understand that when they're clicking and agreeing to things, that they could be downloading something that's harmful, right? And so you and I might know to say, hey, I don't want to install this application on my device or on my computer. But kids just think, hey, if I install this, I'll get a free extra life in this game I'm playing. So, yeah, of course I want that. So I think that's a very good point.
And, you know, just so, before we move up, I have my son plays, you know, games too, and he'll play, and there's a chest. Oh, mommy, I need to buy these coins so I can get to the next level. I said, no, you don't. So now I have to shut this down, because next thing you'll purchase the coins. And again, you don't know what you're exposing to. And also, too, even in the games, you don't, you know, what the type of games. Before, for us, you know, the movies, right, PG-13. But the games now have such hidden subliminal messages behind them that you want to understand. You don't know. And I always say kids have more time in the world than anyone else, so they will find a way. And I've seen and been exposed to kid hackers, you know, for their video game, how they hack their video games because mommy and daddy changed the password and I don't know. And this is a real fact that they're seeing. What really, another thing that prompted me to be doing this, my son, I was talking and while we were doing this for the YMCA the last time, and I was like, man, there's this game that I've been hearing about. There's this game that kids are going on to. He's like, oh, Fortnite. I'm like, oh. So I said, how did you know about this? All my friends at school, now he's 6. So imagine that, right? My friends at school told me about it. We're talking. I said, okay, that's it. Now really, there's more to it behind that part. And we don't know, because it's a game. It's harmless. Why not? But we don't see behind it as parents.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually planning on doing another episode of this podcast with someone from a school here in Jacksonville that has decided that they've banned Fortnite completely. Not just you can't play it at school, but as I understand it, you can't talk about it. You can't mention the game or how, what level you're on or what, you know, progress you've made, or if you talk about it at all, it's a kind of a zero tolerance kind of policy. So I'm kind of interested to learn a little bit more about that. I think I'm probably more on the more lenient side of letting kids have freedom to do things and talk about things with some appropriate supervision. But at some point, it probably does get so distracting that it's interfering with the educational process. And I'm suspecting that that's what that school has decided to do. Regine, what do you know? What kind of tools and strategies do you know of that parents can use to try to help their kids stay safe when they're using technology?
The first thing as parents, even before that, we used to do is, before it was, don't speak to strangers, right? If you don't know anyone, do not speak to them, do not say anything to them, or don't go anywhere they ask you to, go get an adult. So with me, I started early on. The early on is the parenting educational part of it. I am giving you, installing the integrity and the trust factor in the children early, being able to have good judgment, right? So the same thing with do not speak to a stranger. Before, use good judgment on what you're choosing, the games you're playing. Because if you see it's bad stuff, don't click on it, or come to me and show me, hey, mom, or, you know, someone else, I'm seeing this can I play this game? Can I do this? Oh, I see this. I'm getting this message. I don't understand where it's coming from. So one is that trust to talk to a parent, you know, letting them know there are things out there, but before you do anything, talk to us and learn and understand what is it that I'm going to do first. That's the one, the main tip is parenting, right? But parenting in a trusting manner, because then they will come to you.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how you receive it. If they say, I did this, I don't know what I did, I click a button, it's redirecting and re-education. That's key. A lot for me, I there's a security factor on the iPad. I put that security factor in there. I manage the time that, you know, manage the time that your child is on the computer, is on the tablet, is on the laptop. There are, you know, tools that you can put in, even within the hardware itself, that where you can actually set the timer, then they have to go, you know, then it shuts down immediately. Or if they're going to download something, they're restricted from downloading. They're restricting from purchasing. Do not leave your credit card information on there, even if they're sharing they're sharing a family portal, right? So do not leave your credit card information in there, because again, they're kids. They're going to click the button, even though it says there's a warning sign that says, oh, if you're only 18 or older than you, 17 or older than you can purchase. Of course, they're going to click yes, because as you mentioned earlier, they want those coins in order to get to the next level. But if they understand not to do that, even if it comes up, show me first. Or you have those mechanisms in place where you already stop it from even happening, then you won't. My son cannot download anything on his iPad. It's restricted to the point where I got frustrated one time. I'm like, why is this thing not working? I said, oh, you can't do it. That means I'm on your iPad, so I can't do it either. I restrict certain, what we call whitelisting and blacklisting, some websites that he can or cannot go to. And if he's downloading something, it comes to me that and asks me permission. And before I even accept the permission, I read it and do some research behind it, so I can understand if it's age appropriate for him, even though it has the cute little characters on it, right? And what's behind it. You know, for me, I go the extra mile because I know what's out there and what I, you know, to do. But as parent, research information is out there. Be vigilant on, you know, and what's coming up. And what we can see, go on the internet and research it. And I, you know, those are, you know, that's what I do, because I can't keep up with everything, but I'll look it up first and then I will go in and then I'll approve it. But then I'll still monitor and see what is transpiring. Is there information sharing? What's behind it, so that I can continue protecting him.
I like how you mentioned, you know, don't speak to strangers, and that how that kind of translates into the digital world. My oldest son was telling me about a new game.
Yes.
You may have heard of it. It's kind of like Fortnite. It's called Apex Legends. And so it's one of these games that's actually free to download, even on the PlayStation. I have a PS4. So I downloaded the game without him being there because I wanted to kind of check it out ahead of time. And I couldn't figure out a way, on the PlayStation at least, to keep people from talking to me. And that, you know, it's simple, but like that game violated for me that don't speak to stranger rule. If my son can play on the game, no one can talk to him either in messaging or by voice, and they can't hear him talking and he can't send them messages. I feel a whole lot better about him playing that game because he's not speaking to strangers. So I think that's a good tip for people listening to this podcast, that I appreciate you focusing on that. I think it's that's basic and simple, but you just go and say, hey, can you speak to strangers on this game? And if you can, then no, you're not playing. And eventually, depending on how old you are, you know, I get that eventually that there, you may give some flexibility in that for kids as they grow into adulthood. But, you know, I think that's a great rule. The other thing that you mentioned that I thought was great is the on the purchasing side. You know, I think a lot of people set their devices up for convenience, and they'll set their Apple Pay is all set up. And I think Google has Google Pay or Android Pay. And it's just more convenient to not have to put in a passcode or a thumbprint or something every time you want to purchase something. But what you have to remember is that if that device is going to be in the hands of somebody that's a little one, they're going to burn right through that purchases page. If you've got it set up for your own convenience, I think a lot of grandparents forget that. You know, people that have kids and have their kids using their phones regularly are thinking, hey, I don't want my son or daughter buying apps without, especially ones that cost, without me authorizing it. But I think grandparents maybe, you know, they are often less familiar with technology and often don't have kids playing on their phone. And then suddenly they're at a family event and little Timmy wants to play on grandma's phone. And now suddenly he's gone in the app store and downloaded a bunch of stuff. And then they don't even realize it until much later on when they see the bill. So I think that's a good practical point too, is to make sure if there's any chance that your kids are, that any child is going to be using that device, that you make sure you have some kind of separate authorization to purchase things. So let's talk a little bit about bullying. I think a lot of people know what generally what bullying is in the general sense, but online and social media have kind of changed the dynamics on that. And I think people are, at least myself, are a little unsure about what to look for. What are some things, some warning signs that parents should look for in two different directions on this? One, to prevent their kids from being bullied, but also to in case their kids are doing something that might be considered bullying. What are some things to look for on that when kids are using, when they're online or using social media?
It goes back to parenting. So I said originally I'm from Haiti, so I have a Caribbean upbringing. So it's a little like, okay, privacy, but there's a certain level of it. And also, too, if you've shown respect for on the bullying side, right, so kids that are bullying other kids, there's a way a parent, you know, how do you see that? Unless you know you have to know your child, one, and the type of behavior they're exerting. If they're talking very badly about a child, or they're on their social media, but if you need to, as a parent, be able to monitor that, right? And be able to have access to it to see what is it that's being transpired. Sometimes as parents, we are very protective of our children to the point where we're not open-minded to see certain changes in them and that they are doing certain things or accepting it and now redirecting and correcting what they're doing. You know, identifying a bully, it's a little bit, you know, it's kind of like you have to see it in action. And you have to pay attention to what, you know, the way they speak, as I mentioned, and how they themselves are reacting or acting towards you as a parent, right? Because those are early signs that you can quickly identify the child that, what is the child doing. And also to be very close to their teachers, and also the other teachers are surrounding that's paying attention, and you don't know because they spend most of your time in school. If you're hiding stuff, there's no, I'm going to come now. It's my job to figure it out. What are you, is it that you're hiding? What are you doing? For on the other aspect of, hopefully that makes a little bit sense, right? On the other aspect of, you know, and how do you detect warning yes. signs? You know, it's the reverse of that. Children that are being bullied, depending on what they are, who their character are, one, you know who your child is. If they're outgoing and they're outspoken, and now you've seen they're more introverts, or they look sad most of the time, or they don't want to go to school, but they don't want to say anything because they don't want the other kid to get in trouble. Because we've had these throughout, even in past upbringings, right, in past generations. But now it's a little bit different. If they're on the internet, then you've seen, you know, the way they're acting, and they're putting stuff out there on an emotional, highly emotional context. Those are you have to be paying attention. For me, everyone, well, of course, my son doesn't have a social media, so and aspect, well, I don't understand how kids
mine either, not yet at least.
At a certain age that they have it, as a parent, you still have rights to be able to monitor what's being transpired between them and other kids. And also to seeing the text messages that they're receiving. I know my child. So if he comes into the car when I pick him up and he doesn't look his bubbly self or happy self, hey, how was school today, buddy? You know, what happened? Something happened? You don't look so, you know, you probing questions, because we're not too busy for our kids. We're not too busy for even ourselves. So those are, we have to take the little time to have that conversation. So if there, I will say, you know, if he's retreating into his room more often, right? Often than not, they're being not sociable, not wanting to do things, yeah. and, you know, that they're usually happy to do. And, or especially if it's someone that close that you know, and they know, oh no, I don't want to go there anymore. I'll stay home. Why all of a sudden these things are happening? And so you have to pay closer attention yeah. to your kids. And I do understand everyone is busy. I put that in quotation mark, okay? So, because we should never be too busy to not, you know, see what the changes that are happening within our kids. And yes, it's not for every parent. You have parents that are working 24/7, very hard to provide. And, you know, make sure that the kids have a roof over their head, they're eating. There's a lot of things happening. So how do we help those parents? You know, it still have to take that time to do it. But those are things I pay close attention to when he's interacting, who's he's interacting with. Even he doesn't play games online that's like you playing with other people. He doesn't have a social media, but I know some people that at this young age do.
Right.
It's a different story. Right. But even in school, I know the parents, I know the kids. And, you know, if he tells me something, you know, I said, we're best friends. I'm your parent. I'm here to protect you. Right. So anything that's going on, you need to talk to me about it so that we can rectify it now. And if someone is doing something to you, you have to tell a teacher. That's what the teacher is here for. You have to tell someone. And then when they tell someone, do not be afraid. You know, because if you don't, then you're going to continue. This is what you're going to continue to be sad and not be happy. And then the parents have a meeting, you know, then the kids have a meeting. I said, if someone is doing something, you have to let them finish. And then you let them know that you don't like what they're doing to you. And that's not, and they're not being nice. And, you know, he's six. What can they experience at this age? There's a lot. You know, they go through a lot of different emotional roller coasters, right? Changes that, you know, getting to know themselves as a person, getting to know their voice and, you know, what they can or cannot do by themselves, want to be adults early on. I have one of those. But, you know, but those are the things that for me, I pay close attention to, because I know he loves school. He loves his friends. And if there's a friend, he will tell me, hey, so-and-so did this to me today. And I said, well, what happened? did you have, you know, conflict resolution? What happened? You know, he'll tell me, I did tell a teacher today, mommy. And, you know, and we had a talk. So I said, okay, no problem. And then he able to let them know, I don't like what you're doing, and I will let someone know what you're doing. And the environment, there's a lot of different things, but those are the first signs, warning signs, yeah. Right? One, they're retreating to themselves. They're not as talkative as they used to be. They're not as confident in making simple little decisions. And you would think, what does that have to do with bullying? It has to do with self-confidence, because someone is you know, layering them as a person, right? Personalities, their confidence, and also decision-making, all of these into effect. Now they're more submissive. Not that they shouldn't be, but there's different lights to see. But those are things that I pay close attention to as a parent. And those are the warning signs that everyone exert.
I like to ask my kids, because sometimes I'll see them in the morning and then I won't mm-hmm. see them again until later, much later yes. in the day. What was the best thing that happened to you? What was the worst thing that happened to you? If you can just capture those two data points every day or even every couple of days, then you can, that's the kind of thing you can evaluate. If the things that used to be the best thing that happened have now become the worst thing, then that might be a warning sign as well. Regine, if you could create one new app or software program that would help kids and parents that are using technology, that's unlimited budget, unlimited time, what would it be and what would you do?
The invisible bubble, right? So, there's a story behind that one. So I'm like, hey, you're in my bubble. You're too close to my bubble. But, you know, thinking about that, app or software is really it will be educational with elements of surveillance, you know, for lack of a better word, right? Right. For parents and kids also, right? A software that will be able to right. educate them on what's happening, give them information on if they're going to download an app or going on a site or what they're doing or what kind of site it is. And we're dealing with kids at different ages. So at different age, there'll be a different type of access that you will get as which is appropriate to your age. And help the software will also help discern if there's any bad actors in the back end that, you know, that you won't see. So you'll scan the app, scan the web for you, the website that you're in, or your social media, you know, at a constant that gives client alert and the news of what's happening. What's the new things that's going on within this world that you may not be seeing? The same way we get news on our watch, on our phone of the day, that will also be part of it to give you what new technology is out there to help the kids, what is actually happening within the technology that you have at home now and what you should be doing. And that software, if you download it, will also, what we call patch management, will also help with the security side of it and block things that you may not know, may not see, if something comes up they're not, should be, or change in any of the platform that they're using, it automatically takes them off and lets you know. So that's, you know, and we say vulnerability scan to see what's happening. It'll have those features, because those are key things that, not every parent is technology savvy, right? Kids, they are, or some don't, but it's because they have the time. They'll become technology savvy because to use for their own good, right? Figure out how to get around the security perimeter that my parents has put on, because they can't do that.
Right.
But what is there to help alert? Hey, there's a breach per se, right? Someone tried to get into this app or this website. So what we stopped it from happening. So, but the educational side, helping client, help, you hear me, client, parents, helping parents, same thing, helping parents and kids understand, hey, you're going to the site, right? Those are things that's happening, you shouldn't do that. How do I make better decisions? And it's repetitive. Even us as adults, we have to get ourselves into that mindset. How do I make better decision? Is that a good website? If I'm not so sure, let me click that button and it'll tell me everything about it. And protect, and giving them that protection from the outside. I don't know what I would call it. Yes. Oh, you never know. You never know.
Well, if you ever invent that,
you know, there's ways, right?
Let me know.
Bringing people, a team of other technology practitioners to actually sit down and how can each of us, with our expertise, create a piece that will actually help on that side?
I tell you, I think if I had to answer that question, I'd invent some kind of tool that yes. you could designate mm-hmm. security settings and privacy, you know, settings that you care about, and then that app or program would require all the other apps and programs that are being used to comply with that level of security or privacy. And if it gets out of but you know, the reality is there's too many different settings and too many different things. So in the meantime, unless I am able to create that, I think what I'm going to try to do is make a list of the things.
Yes, yes.
I haven't done this yet, but I challenge myself here and report back later. I'm going to make a list of the things that are important to me and then literally write it down on a list. And then as things come up, programs, apps, social media sites, I can go look at my list and say, all right, these are the things that I said was important, and talk with my kids about it. These are the things that I'm worried about, concerned about. Does this app or program, does it violate these things or not? And that way, and if it doesn't, and I have concerns about it, like that Apex Legends game, I can say, look, guys, I'm not going to put this computer program on our computer or let you play this game. And it's not because I'm just being mean. It's because I have this concern or that concern. And I'm worried about you. And I think that maybe I'm optimistically thinking that will make it go better. I'm sure at some age it doesn't matter.
Mine still tell me, why do you always have to be the one to agree for me to get to this, to download this app or to do this next step? I said, because I'm here to protect you. I need to make sure. And I trust you to make good judgments, because that's the first thing I tell them. I said, either I'm here or not here. You need to be able to make good judgment. And it's better to make good judgment when I'm not here, because it speaks better on your character and your integrity. And now you can do it everywhere else. I said, but my job is to, my primary concern, aside from, you know, caring, you know, which is the normal thing, is to protect you outside those walls, outside of everything that you're doing. And that's why I have to make sure anything that you do is safe for you. And if not, I still monitor. But you're absolutely right. The things that the kids or the tablet, the technology has some of those features already, is to take the time to actually, you know, properly configure it so that it gives you that alert. And then the other, the software is going to make sure that what you set as the perimeter is also being adhered to, right? And anything changes, so you can get, so you'd be able to monitor it.
Yeah. I know one thing I try to do whenever I hear about something, some kind of predator, something bad happened in the cyber world with a game of some kind, without scaring my kids, I do try to tell them about that so they can connect it to reality. Like, hey, did you hear that someone was stealing accounts in Fortnite? And they because they didn't have the security settings, or because they had their microphone on and they shared their information with this person, the person ended up stealing all their gems or their coins or their V-Bucks or whatever. there's a right way to do that. You don't want to freak them out and have them have nightmares, but at the same time, to connect it to things that as you hear about it, I think it's just something to think about as well. Well, Regine, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. I've enjoyed talking with you and learning a little bit more about what you do and hearing what you have to say about keeping kids and their parents safe from technology. And thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for listening to the PG Podcast. Have a great day.